Okay, we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 30, and that's where we're going to begin. There'll be a lot of verses out of the book of Proverbs, so just kind of stay there and move around. If I get out of Proverbs, you can pretty much just let me read those, but try to turn to the ones that are in Proverbs. Should be pretty easy to stay within one book. So, this lesson is kind of greatly modified lesson from one I taught earlier in the year. And so we've given it a new title because when I got done teaching it last year, it hit me that it was all directed toward parents. And yet we really need to discuss and address the young adults too. So the title of the lesson, if you've got the handout, is, even if you don't have the handout, it's still the title lesson. It's the young adult parent relationship. And let's begin right here in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. It says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." Now, that's not always verbally. I think there's a whole lot of that goes on in people's hearts, in young people. There is a generation, verse 12, that are pure in their own eyes. In other words, everything they do is right, and everything their parents do is wrong, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They're not as clean and as right as they think they are. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given to us, and thank you that you've given us your word, and we ask that it'll help. And I pray you'll give me wisdom to stress what needs to be stressed and to skim over what we won't have a lot of time to cover. We just pray you guide in this, we pray in Christ's name, amen. So the transition from adulthood, from childhood to young adulthood, sometimes can be a little difficult, can be a little bit bumpy, can be challenging. And a lot of times, there are tensions between young adults and their parents. You say, no. How many have been a young adult before? Was it a little bumpy? Yeah. And we have to remember as adults that our young adults are experiencing those bumps too. But can I remind you young adults that your parents have not parented young adults before either, probably. And so it's new for them, too. They went through it the other end, but it was so long ago they forgot. A lot of things we forget, right? Young adults tend to think they know more than they do, and parents tend to think that their children know less than they do. So there are a lot of misunderstandings, and sometimes those misunderstandings come because we don't understand what each other's roles are, and I hope that we can cover some of that this evening. Unfortunately, in a lot of homes, there's frustration. Kids get frustrated with the parents, and the parents certainly get frustrated with their children. And so whether it's stated or not, this is kind of here are some of the feelings that can be summed up this way. Again, whether it's stated or not, the child is either saying or thinking, "I can't wait till I move out." And the parents are thinking, "We can't wait till you move out." You say, "No, no, no, no. Let me tell you, I love my children. And I'm not saying I'm..." Yeah, anyway. You know, it's really hard to teach this lesson when my young adult children, two of them, are here. But anyway, I will spare most stories. If you do a quick Google search, and I did the other night, about parent-young adult relationship. That's exactly what I typed in, and I'm not suggesting that you do this, but if you did, it will yield a whole bunch of articles by psychologists, which tells me there's a huge problem out there in the world between young adults and their parents. And in that huge Google hit, most all the ones that I saw up the top were psychologists. I didn't see a lot. In fact, I didn't see, May have saw one from Focus on the Family, but I don't think they even had any scripture in it. But there was a whole bunch of stuff in there that had nothing to do with the Bible. So that means Christians have to deal with this, and if we don't address it, then we're going to be kind of left up in the air in what to do. And we shouldn't be left up in the air in what to do, because the Bible is helpful for every facet of our lives. So I want to see if we can get some help from the scriptures tonight. We'll discuss the young adults first, and then consider the parents. So, number one, the young adults. A lot of times I was thinking about this the other day. A lot of times our lessons in the institute classes here are almost always geared toward the parents. Very seldom, it seems like, are we addressing the kids or the young adults. And when we're talking about kids, it's about how the parents should discipline their kids or how the parents should instruct their kids and all of that. And so I want to begin with some helps for our young people. Biblically, adulthood, I believe, and there's a scripture that backs it up, we talked about it last time, begins at 20 years old. However, some of these things that we're going to cover here certainly apply to teenagers too, as you will see. So I want to see, first of all, I want to look at the dangers. What are some dangers that young people face in this parent-young adult relationship? Because we need to cover some of these. So first one, number one is thinking, this is for you young people, and you say, what's a young person? Again, a young adult is 20 years old and above. You say, how old? I think it goes up into their 30s. They're still young adults, all right? That doesn't mean that they're under their parents. Obviously, once you're 20, you're not under your parents' authority anymore. You should still be under their influence, but not under their authority. And we'll see some of the transition here. But as I mentioned, these truths cover even teenagers. So just real quickly, if you are a teenager all the way through, say, 30. Just raise your hand. I want to see teenager all the way through 30. There's quite a few in here. Okay. So a lot of this will apply to you and hopefully help you. So number one, here's one of the dangers, is thinking you know more than you do. We've all had that attitude. I remember having that attitude as a young person. I remember my mom, even when I was in my 30s, would would call me, Dave, now you got to remember this. And Mom, ever been there, guys? Mom, yes, thank you, Mom. And, you know, okay. You know, once a mom, always a mom. It's just the way it is. But we've all had the attitude that we know more than our parents. Young adults are adults, but they're young. And because you're young means you lack experience. Your parents have more life experience than you. And can I tell you, your parents will always have more life experience than you, because they're always going to live longer than you are. Okay? So while they're alive, they always have more life experience. And parents can offer not just a little bit of advice, they can offer generations of advice. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. They can offer generations of advice. You'll see what I get when I get to this. Most children have heard something like, "My dad used to say," right? Or you've heard, "My mother always told me." We've heard things like that, and Solomon was passing this on to his son, his children. Here in chapter 4, it says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son." Now, who was his father? David. "I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me," and here he's quoting what David, his father, told him, "Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." My point here is this. Solomon gave, you read the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of advice that Solomon gave to his son that from the wisdom that he had. But he also was able to pass on some nuggets that he had gotten from his dad. So my point is, young people, as much as you're tempted to think you know more than you do, and I'm not trying to belittle you because we've all been there, just remember your parents know a lot. And don't be afraid to go to them and get some help. The truth is that we don't know as much as we think, and we need help. And parents, make sure you don't live to criticize your children, all right? And also, children, make sure you understand that your parents aren't there to make life miserable for you. Let me move over to the second thing. Another danger is thinking that you're right when you're wrong. This happens a lot. People just think they're flat out right. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. And most of these, I think you have scriptures down there. You can be turning to those as we get to the points. 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So there is a way, and many young people are anxious to take that way. And unfortunately, the end of that path is trouble. And parents who've been around the block a few times can see that, and they'll pull you aside and they'll say something, but if you have a hard heart and you think you know better and you think you're right when you're wrong, you're going to have an attitude toward them and you're going to go off into the wrong direction and you're going to hurt yourself. And the last time I checked, any loving parent doesn't want their children to hurt themselves. So they say, "Hey, have you considered this?" Don't refuse that, okay? Here's another danger, forgetting the dangers of being a young adult. 2 Timothy 2:22, let me read it to you. Paul was told Timothy, who was his son in the faith, he said, "Flee also youthful lusts." Then he also said, "But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So when your parents are pointing you toward righteousness, that's a good thing. Faith, charity, peace, and pushing you to have fellowship with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, and they're trying to help you and watch over your friends and those type of things. That's a good thing. But he said, "Flee also youthful lusts." There are such things as youthful lusts. There are lusts that youth are more prone to fall to, because they have less experience. I mean, you can just think about Proverbs chapter 7. Solomon looks out the window and he sees the simple young man who's going right, you know, toward the, like the ox toward the slaughter, to this wicked woman. He thinks, "Hey, I got it all under control. I'm just having a little bit of fun." No, you're not having a little bit of fun. You're about ready to destroy your life. And a good parent's going to say, "Hey, don't go there." And a good parent sees you going there. You don't see it. Lusts are forbidden desires. They're forbidden by God. Forbidden desires, sexual desires. You're not married? You have youthful lusts. You better get them under control. You better be careful of them. Looking, flirting, touching. "Ooh, hey baby, I love you. What do you love?" "Well, I love you." Yeah. Sensual. Covetous is a youthful lust. I know it goes into adulthood too, but if you don't get it under control when you're young, a lot of people spend a whole lot of money. They get their first job, real paying job, and the money just is flying out the window. They're on Amazon Double Prime, you know? Everything's their inbox is always boom. "And here's another package for so-and-so. Are you saving?" "Oh, yes." "Yes." "What?" "I don't know, but saving the packages that they get." Worldliness is a youthful lust, right? You would say worldliness. Yeah, being trendy. Got to have the latest of this and the latest of that, and got to look, you know, cool. That goes along with the pride of life. Looking cool. Talking like the dude. You know, that is so immature. And anyway, don't forget that God says that you, as a young person, are prone, especially, you know, we can think on the teenagers in college, college age are prone to youthful lust. Let me give you a fourth one, desiring your own way. So forgetting the dangers of being a young adult. Then number four is desiring your own way. Most young adults want to be their own man or be their own woman. Now, I understand that. And that's not necessarily a problem to become your own man or your own woman in a sense. But there's a big difference between independence and rebellion. Why do you want to be your own man? Is it so you can do your own thing? You're rebellious. If you're wanting just to become independent so you can use your independence and you can use your freedom to serve God and to do what you're supposed to do on your own, well, then I'm all for you. Many young adults want to be, you know, what they want to be and do what they want to do. And that's nothing more than rebellion. Not nothing. It's just absolute rebellion. We should want to be our own person, so to speak, so we can follow God. So we don't have to be compelled by our parents to do what we're supposed to do. That's true independence. Some people think, well, why can't my parents just accept that I am different? That's the new cry of our whole society, isn't it? Well, just accept me the way I am. Well, if you're wrong, I am not going to accept you. This is just a smokescreen, I'm telling you. Let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, one of my children made a statement. It went along something like this. I heard staff say that it's okay, or we're going to sometime believe differently about some things than our parents. Now, I don't know what the staff member said, but I'm thinking they took that the whole wrong way. Okay? They heard what they wanted to hear. All right? What they were thinking was that that child was looking for an excuse to cast off what we as a family taught as a biblical standard. And they heard a staff member say, well, at some point, you're going to just disagree and believe some things differently than your parents. Woohoo! I don't have to believe this biblical standard anymore. Because someone else said I don't have to. Wow. You know what that is? That's a rebellious heart. Desiring to go their own way. Can't wait till I'm old enough to be my own person and do my own thing. That's dead wrong. And God warns us about people who seek their own way. Let me show you we do have some Bible. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 2. The Bible says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may do what? Discover itself. Oh, yeah. So what kind of person wants to discover his own heart and just go his own way? The Bible says it right there. A fool. So if you want people to respect you as a young adult, then you need to follow God's plan. And that's the thing. A lot of young adults are like, how come they don't respect me? You can be respected. I have great respect for some young people. But you earn respect. You don't demand respect. You don't say, this is how I'm going to live and you have to approve my choices. No, you earn it by how you live and how you act. And I'll give you a great example. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth. You don't have to let anyone despise your youthfulness. He said, but be thou an example of the believers. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You be an example and people will respect you. People will approve of what you're doing. Here's another danger. Going your own way, not just desiring your own way, but then taking that next step and going your own way. If you plan to go your own way long enough, you will. And here's the problem with some teenagers. They've been planning for years. I can't wait till I am old enough. I am going to do. And once they become old enough, they've been planning this for years, their heart is so hardened that once they think that they are of age, they're heading headlong toward where they're going to go. No stopping them. Some teens quietly rebel in their hearts. They conform outwardly for years. And they can't wait till they're out of high school. And then, I'm my own man. No, you are your own rebel. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't go your own way. Proverbs 19:27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. You know, Judas went his own way. Bible says in Luke 22:4, he says, but he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him, Jesus, unto them. The book of Judges sums up the debauchery of God's wayward people in the very last words of Judges. It says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They went their own way, which is contrasted to David, which did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Going your own way is a danger, and it's pretty common. And if you're planning, I can't wait. Maybe there's a freshman in college. I'm here. My parents wanted me to do the one-year program, but when that's over, I'm doing what I want to do. Whoa, be careful. Number six danger is wanting your parents to accept your way over God's way. Turn with me to Proverbs 23. I'm not going to accept my children's way over God's way, because God's way is always going to be better. So in Proverbs 23, verse 15, he says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. See, your parents are going to rejoice when you're wise, when you follow God, when you're not following your own selfish ways. So you say, I want my parents to accept me. Then do what's right. We'll be happy. Really, really, really happy. We might even smile. Proverbs 27, verse 11. My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth me. You know, your parents want to boast about you. They want to brag about you. They want to talk about how you are doing good. He said, man, I want you do what's right. Make my heart glad. You be wise. He said, I'm going to answer those people who reproach me. I'm going to start boasting about how good you are. Parents want to do that. Give them something to boast about. Don't go your own way. So, if you really want your parents' praise and acceptance, follow what you've been taught. Follow what you've been taught about your devotions. Follow what you've been taught about music. Not, well, I don't agree with them on this. No, you don't agree with the Bible. I don't agree with... Follow what you've been taught about dress. Dress standards, dress appropriateness, dress up for church, money, service. Follow what you've been taught about these things from the Bible. It's not just your parents' teaching, it's your parents' teaching of the Bible. Anyway, let's get to duties. Duties. What are some things that young adults can do to help their relationship with their parents? So I gave you some dangers, and these are very real dangers, and I hope you could take some time. And by the way, it's not a bad idea if you've got young adults at your home to go through and sit down and go through some of these things and discuss them. Have a discussion. But here's some duties, some things that young adults can do to help this relationship. I'm going to look at several verses out of Proverbs again. I want to lay the foundation before I get into this and why I'm using this. 22 times Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, my son. 22 times. Three times he said, ye children, where he's talking directly to us. So it's 25 times he's talking to his son or his children. By context, these passages, I believe Solomon's talking to a young adult son, not a small child. Okay, the topics that he's discussing in these passages are grown-up topics that you wouldn't necessarily sit there and discuss with kids. You'd have no reason to, some of these. In chapter 1, verses 10 through 16, he's telling them not to murder and not to be a thief, not to hang out with murderers and thieves. my five-year-olds just weren't hanging out with guys who were, you know, running around gangbanging. Okay? But a young adult would. You see the difference? Chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, he told him to love his wife and not to commit adultery, to rejoice with the wife of his youth. So it seems to me that his son's probably already married. And he's still having an influence on him. Get that, okay? Young adults, get that. Even when you're married, young adults, your parents can and should still have a good influence on you. They're not going to command you anymore and boss you around, but they have a lot to say, and you can really benefit from listening. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, he's telling his son not to get involved with usury, which is co-signing for a loan. Again, 8-year-olds don't do that. So we're talking then some type of a young adult. And in those verses, he says, you know, go deliver yourself. So it's possible the son was already guilty of it. So again, young adult. Chapter 6, verse 20 and 20 through 26, he was told to avoid the strange woman. Obviously, then, he was old enough to lust. Probably, again, not a 9-year-old. Chapter 7, verse 5, he was warned of the strange woman, and he mentioned the young man who was simple. So he's talking about a young man who was not careful around the strange woman. So these were challenges to an adult son, and because of that, I think it shows that parents should still have an influence on their young adult children. So let me give you some duties that you, from the book of Proverbs, most of these, that you can do and make sure you have with your parents, help your relationship. Number one, remember that your parents will always be parents. Your parents are always going to be parents until they die. They'll always be concerned about you. They should always have an influence in your life. Now, if you don't like that, that shows you're rebellious. I talk to my dad every week. I like his influence in my life. He's 85 years old. I will miss him when he's gone. He's an encouragement to me. He's a good example to me. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. If you go back to Proverbs chapter number 1, verses 7 through 9. Here we see, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom instruction. So we see foolish people don't want to be instructed. And then we see verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So he says the word hear, listen. He's telling them, he's pleading with them to listen. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. He said, receive my words. So parents are always going to be parents. They're always going to be there to offer a little bit of advice. This is Solomon talking to his adult son, and he says, receive my words. This is important. Don't cut that off. This is God's avenue to help you to even be a stronger and better young adult. Good parents are going to continue to offer godly advice. That's their duty. Don't despise them. Let's go back to verse 8 of chapter 1. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Don't forsake it. Verse 9 tells us what happens if you listen. If you listen, they, those things that you're taught by your parents, even when you're an adult, young adult, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now, a chain would oftentimes be representative of authority. And the idea of an ornament of grace unto thy head, talking about a crown or a diadem, we're talking about prestige. If you follow the advice, you're going to have dignity, respect, and authority in your life. You're going to have a much better life. And remember, your parents have your best interests in mind when they're trying to help you with things. They're not trying to stifle you and ruin your life.
Why can't they just accept me the way that I am?
Well, they want you to be even better than you are. Okay? Number two. So the first one, obviously, we got to remember that parents will always be parents. That's why my mom would, when I'm in my 30s, say, now, David. Number two, trust your parents. Turn with me to Proverbs 23. Trust your parents. And this is pretty hard because you're wanting to be your own man, so part of you doesn't want to listen, but you need to. Proverbs 23, verse 26 says, my son, again, this is Solomon talking to his adult son, young adult son. He said, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Trust me. Give me your heart. Because if you don't give it to your parents, you're going to give it to someone else. What's the next two verses? For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. He said, give me your heart so you don't give it to that wicked one. Trust your parents. Listen, if your parents have any reservations about the person you're interested in, you're a fool if you don't listen to them. Again, they've been around. You say, well, they're not my authority anymore. Listen to their advice. Don't just brush it off. Fools despise wisdom and instruction, the Bible says. Be careful of that. Trust your parents. Proverbs 2. Oh, I don't have time for that one. You can read that on your own. Okay, let me get to the next one. Honor your parents. This is an important one. Honor refers, that's number three, honor your parents. It refers to revere, honor, to revere or to value. If you honor your parents, you value them, their opinion, who they are. You revere them. It implies respect also. Now, honoring your parents doesn't stop at the age of 18. I know Pastor Armacost talked about the idea of honoring your parents. I want to expand on that a little bit here. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Say, there you go. That's talking about little kids. It is. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You say, well, still talking about kids. No, right there, it's not. When you get to the idea of honoring thy father and mother, that's not talking just for little kids. That's throughout your whole life. You say, how do you know that? Because he says this is the first commandment with promise. What commandment was he talking about? Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, just happens to be the fifth of the Ten Commandments, and it was not given to little children, it was given to the entire nation of Israel, and it's part of the moral law, so it applies to every single one of us still today, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Children and youth under the age of 20 are required to obey and honor their parents, but after 20, they're not required to obey, but they're still required to honor their parents. And if you don't honor your parents, you're in sin. You're backslidden. I wonder how many backslidden young people there are who don't honor their parents. Now, honoring extends even to when your parents are old. Proverbs 23:22 tells us that. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. So when she's old, you still don't despise her. You still don't just say, yeah, whatever, old woman. No, no. You honor her all her days. Well, she's meddling. She loves you. Some young people are counting the days until they don't have to obey. And I told you what that is already. It's rebellion. They can't wait till they're free from their oppressive parents. Those who have such an attitude might be obeying outwardly, but inwardly they're not honoring their parents. And so once they hit the magical age of 20 and there's all this problems, and usually that kind of person starts having a fit even when they're in their late teens, And it just continues. They can't stand the rules. They want freedom to do what they want to do. And they turn their backs on what they've been taught. They're not honoring their parents. And the reason a lot of young adults don't honor their parents, because they didn't do it when they were younger either. And then the young adult thinks, well, I'm no different than I always was. I'm still believe the same. Well, no, the problem is now you have the freedom to not obey. And the real you is coming out. You haven't honored your parents all along. And once you're of age, that rebellious nature comes out even more so. Your heart is exposed. It's terrible. Honor your parents with your decisions, with the direction in life, with your desires, and even in your differences. Little should change once you have your freedom. Only a rebel wants to turn his or her back on what they've been taught once they're of age. When a child may, well, I can't wait to do my own thing, rest assured, their own thing, it isn't the right thing. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent, Proverbs 15:5 says. Now, number four, seek. Here's another duty. Seek the advice of your parents. Don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 10, and talk to them. Now, if you haven't developed this kind of relationship growing up as a teenager, it's going to be difficult, but just do it anyway. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Again, hear and receive. Chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend unto my words. You know, listen. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Ooh, get that. Bow mine ear? I ain't bowing down to nothing. Did you notice the action verbs that were here? Hear, receive, incline, attend, bow your ear. That shows the desire should be toward the counsel of your parents. Again, you're not trying to have them tell you everything to do. Hopefully, you want to do, and they want you to do things on your own, but have a little bit of guidance. Now, another resource that might be helpful in this area of seeking the advice of your parents, I preached a message earlier this year in January on the value of old men. Very strange topic, but it was very, very helpful. It was a chapel message. I think it would be helpful there. Number five, then, another duty is remember what you've been taught. Chapter 3, verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandment. Don't forget what you were taught. He's talking to an adult son saying, hey, remember all those things I taught you? Don't forget them now. Sometimes they just need a little friendly reminder. So don't forget. Remember what you've been taught. And then there's a couple other verses there too. As an adult, you don't have to do what you've been taught. You get to do what you've been taught. That's the difference. All right. Now, I know I don't have time for parents, so let me at least give you the blanks to fill in, okay? Parents, dangers, forgetting that your authority has ended. Okay, you don't have authority over your 20, 21-year-old, so be careful. Number two would be failing to establish boundaries. All right, if your child is still in the home, and he's 20, 21, 22, 23, you know, there are some rules. He can't just come and do what he wants anytime he wants. He's not living in the boys' dorm. They probably do more than they're supposed to. Anyway, establish some boundaries for yourself once your children are out of the home. You know, you can't say, well, hey, if you love me, you're going to bring your family over here every Friday night so we can have supper together. I want to see the grandkids. No, that doesn't work that way, okay? Number three, another danger is taking a hands-off approach. Okay, your kids still need advice, guidance, encouragement, all right? Number four, being more critical than constructive. That's easy to criticize, but the Bible says every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Be careful not to just be destroying and pulling down and always criticize. Learn to encourage. Number five, losing your temper is another one. You get frustrated because they're not doing what you wish they would do, and you don't communicate with them, and all of a sudden you just blow up. Don't jump to conclusions. Discuss your differences, and don't hold things inside. Sit down and have an adult conversation. They're adults. Number six, holding grudges is another one. Children may not do everything you want them to do, but you got to learn to forgive and move on. Duties. Again, I'm just giving these because we got to get moving here. Duties. Show respect. They're adults, after all. So you respect other adults, so show respect to them. Respect their opinions. They have opinions. They're allowed to have opinions. Respect their schedules. You know, you're not their boss anymore. Well, Dad, you respect their property. You know, I want this. Well, it's in my house. Well, it's theirs. They paid for it. They work for it. Don't treat them like your servants. They have a life too. Ask, don't demand. Right? Solomon, we should ask, my son, give me thine heart, okay? We should ask for that. But then once they do, don't stomp all over it. Number two, correct carefully. Adult children tend to resent, all children tend to resent being belittled and treated like they don't know anything. Sometimes you wonder if they know anything. But anyway, if your children know you're trying to help, they're going to accept your advice. Proverbs 16:21 says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. If your speech is rough, you're just going to drive them away. But it says, if it's sweet, the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. If your speech is sweet, if it's palatable, if it's pleasant, you talk to them like a normal human being, like you care for them, instead of condescendingly, they're going to listen and they will increase in learning. So a lot of it has to do with our approach. Parents, be careful. You can't treat them like a two-year-old.
What did Dad say?
Well, two-year-olds don't know what Dad said anyway. Let's continue. Number three, remind your children of the lessons that you've taught them. The verses you can look up. Number four, offer advice. Again, your children don't know everything, so keep those channels of communication open. Solomon gave advice to his adult son. He said in Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears to my sayings. Stakes are higher when they're older. A wrong decision with their mate, their career, their ministry could really destroy their life. So don't preach at them, but learn to make suggestions, not just demands, okay? Say something like, you know, if I were in your situation, I might do this. Or years ago, I faced a similar situation. This is what I did. You're not telling them what to do. You're telling them what you did or what you might do. Solomon shared life experience. There's Proverbs 5:14. He said, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation assembly. He was just being real with his son. And if we could just be real with our children and say, listen, I had the same situation. This is what happened. This is how God got me out of it. That goes a long way. You can really help them. So offer suggestions, not demands. Sometimes I'll say, you know, I'm not telling you what to do, but if it were me, this is what I would do. Number five, listen and learn. Listen and learn. We should be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Okay? Be more willing to listen than you are to talk. I know we're always talking when we're the parents of the younger ones, trying to impart our great wisdom, but, you know, sometimes we're not hearing the whole story. We want to give advice. We haven't listened to everything they had to say, so let them talk. Get the whole story, you know, and then you can answer. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it's folly and shame unto him. That's a folly to us. Communication, it's dialogues, not monologue. You're not the only one supposed to be talking. And don't be surprised that your young adult child knows some things that you don't know. You can actually learn from them. And it's actually a good thing if you can, because any relationship that is allowed to contribute is going to be a stronger relationship. So when they're contributing to you, boy, they're going to want to keep that relationship going. Then number six, be a sounding board. Okay, let them bounce ideas off of you. You know, we do that in different meetings with staff sometimes, and sometimes there's good ideas, and sometimes... Sometimes there's not. But if someone has an idea that's not good, it's like, man, that's stupid. We don't necessarily do that in staff meeting. Why? Because, you know, it's another adult. You're trying to show a little respect. If your child is a young adult, show a little respect to. Some ideas are just that. They're ideas. They're not something they're going to do. They're just hashing out a little bit. Let them talk. Let them bounce some things off you, okay? Number 7, compliment your children and acknowledge their accomplishments. Learn to say, man, I'm proud of you. Man, you made a good decision here. Proverbs 23:15, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. It's okay to tell them that they bring joy to your life. Number 8, build a strong relationship with your child's spouse. This is not always easy, but it's important for your child's mate to know that you accept them. If you don't, they're not going to want to be around you, which means they're not going to want to bring the grandkids around you, and that's really important if they're around. Moms tend to struggle with accepting daughters-in-law because that daughter-in-law is taking her place, and she's never going to match up to mom. Same with guys. The dads tend to fight this whole idea of that guy who wants to marry my daughter is a jerk because he's not as good as me. Well, if he's interested in your daughter, he might not be a jerk. Maybe if she's a good girl, he's not as big of a jerk as you think he is, and you should be happy that someone is so that you don't have to keep paying for her. Hi, Deb. Number 9, commit them to God. Ultimately, you have to trust God. Even if they're not doing everything you'd want them to do, put them in God's hands. You can read Acts 20:32. And then number 10, enjoy your children. It's okay. Enjoy them. Have some fun. Be excited about what God's going to do in their life. Don't always be, they're not going to make it. You know, they're going to make it. Don't worry. Keep working with them. Help them. Love them. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, and give delight unto thy soul. We can delight in our kids. All right. Father, we just pray that you bless what's been taught. I know I rushed through the last part, but I would ask that it would be helpful to each party involved. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.